Kings, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to the King Solomon at the feast of the month, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tent of the meeting, of the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests, the Levites, brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregations of Israel who had assembled before him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted, nor the number. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubims made coverings over the Ark with its poles. And the poles were so long that the end of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they were there to this day. There is nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there, where the Lord made a covenant with him and the people of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to the minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And Solomon said, "The Lord has set the sun in the heavens, but has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have built thee a house exalted, a place for thee to dwell in forever." Here ends the first lesson.
Second lesson for this morning is written in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers, all at their business. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out, but drove them all with the sheep and oxen out of the temple, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for thy house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign have you to show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. This is the second lesson.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May the Spirit of the living God work mightily in our hearts and minds through the Word, that he may bring about in us a confirming of the faith and a guiding in holy living. Amen. How fitting it is, my brethren in the faith and sisters in Christ, for Coburg Hall to become a worship center. It's the namesake for Coburg Castle, Vesta Coburg, deep in southwest Thuringia, in the tree-laden southern foothills of the Thuringian Mountains. There Martin Luther spent half of the year 1530 devoting himself to biblical studies, working on his translation of the Old Testament prophets into the language of his beloved people. There he perused draft documents leading to the final form of the Augsburg Confession. There he wrote what was to become a famous letter to his little son Hans, pouring out his tender fatherly love, which some detractors thought to be a quality missing in the great reformer. There he grieved over his father's death, May 29th, 1530, with a godly sorrow which saw the resurrected Christ as the first fruits of those who sleep. Coburg Hall has these many years since the mid-20s of the current century been the namesake of that castle. Coburg Hall, on the tree-shaded slopes of Concordia Seminary campus, has for generations been a dining hall to which theological students have come to receive God's gifts for the body, so that they might have energy to pursue God's gifts for the soul, so that they might have the energy to pursue their studies of God's Word and to proclaim the precious gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus as it is presented in that Word. And now this space is to have another function. Therefore, it is to be known also as Coburg Hall Chapel, a sanctuary, a holy place, to which the theological students of Concordia Seminary, together with their faculty, friends, and guests, on each class day shall withdraw from sights and sounds which distract, to devote themselves to communing with the great God of salvation, receiving Him in His Word and Sacrament, giving themselves to Him in prayers of confession and confidence, of petition and praise. Here shall all learn from the book of God's Word. Here for the ears of all shall be told the tender love of the Heavenly Father who gave His only begotten Son. Here shall be told the victorious resurrection following the complete redemption of the world by that Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On this first day of worship in Coburg Hall, let us turn our attention to the Word of God in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, the first part of the verse. It is a word chosen by the worship committee not as a theme for a year of worship which should explore the whole counsel of God more thoroughly, more broadly, but rather as a motto expressing the appropriate character and purpose of the school year's worship which is to follow. The word, a direct quotation of God speaking to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage." In the context of American life, that could sound like a call to self-reliance. In the context God provides in His Word, it is, in fact, a call to a total reliance upon Him. Be strong and firm. It might better be translated, inferring strength in the hands and firmness in the knees. That inferential meaning is echoed by the great prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 3, when he calls upon the people of God and says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees." And again it is echoed by the great prophet in the letter to the Hebrews of the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 12, where the people of God are called upon to lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. How would God have us to be strong in the hands? By laying hold on his word. To Joshua he said, chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." The word in Joshua's hand, though it included only the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, contained the precious gospel which we have so beautifully elaborated in the further scriptures. It contained, for example, the statement of Moses pointing to the Christ to come in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, and saying, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed." That gospel gives life to people who have known themselves from God's word to be dead in trespasses and sins. All who by the grace of God believe it, grasping it with the God-given hand of faith, are made strong. And yet they need to strengthen the feeble knees. Joshua in his time, and all the strong in faith in their times, had to meet so many forces which tried to drive him away from the strength to be had by keeping hold of God's word. Therefore, God also counseled Joshua to be of good courage, to be firm in the knees, by declaring the promise, chapter 1, verse 9, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That promise foreshadowed the knee-strengthening promise of our Lord Jesus to us all. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Thus, God guides us to strong hands and firm knees, calling us to cling to the word and to the word-borne promise of his constant fellowship with us. May it be the character and purpose of all worship in Coburg Hall Chapel that we come to lay hold on God's word with the strength of hand that God gives, that we come to have weak knees strengthened with God's sure promise of being with us all those wherever we go. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Time right now has been set aside for the presentation of the chapel committee to the seminary community, but before that takes place, I'd like to thank the members of the worship committee, and each of them knows who they are, for all their work that they did this past week and over the past couple months to make this become a reality as we thought about it last spring. And I think they deserve a special round of appreciation. On behalf of the Worship Committee of Concordia Seminary, we would like to present Coburg Chapel to Concordia Seminary St. Louis, dedicated to the glory of God and to the edification of His holy people.
As Director of Worship for the Seminary Community, I receive Coburg Chapel with its accoutrements from the Worship Committee and express to you in the name of the entire community the appreciation and thanks to God for the blessings you have wrought in his name. O Lord Jesus Christ, great shepherd and bishop of souls, we ask you to take this house of worship and this assembly into your charge. Guard and defend your flock with your mighty hand. Here, we pray, cause your gospel light to shine. Here, bless your flock evermore with faithful shepherds, and clothe your ministers with righteousness. Here, let the way of salvation be truly set forth, and your Holy Spirit attend your word, to graft it inwardly in the hearts of all who hear it, that they may know you, the only true and living God and Savior of the world, and worship you in spirit and in truth. Cause the message of peace to go forth from this place, even unto the distant nations and to the remote corners of the earth, that many may be called from the way of destruction and walk in the light of your grace. May your Holy Spirit always accompany the administration of your holy sacraments in this place, and with his saving influence, make them effectual means of grace to your people. May the rising generation here be faithfully instructed in sound doctrine, that they may believe in you and live to your praise. Graciously hear the prayers which your children shall offer to you in this place. Hear us in this moment as we make petition for two members of our seminary community, Paul Essela, our Director of Development, and William Bugie, member of our Board of Control, each of whom suffers illness. Minister to them through medications and treatments, through doctors and medical personnel, and by your direct intervention, if that be your good pleasure, and bring about for each of them that thing which you know to be best for him as you shepherd him along toward everlasting life. Let the blessing of harmony and peace forever rest upon this house. And finally, bring us and all who in time to come worship in this place, together with all you redeemed, to that city of God wherein there is no temple, there to unite in your praise with all the angels and the saints. Hear us, Jesus, our Savior, for your own name's sake. Amen. Our prayer has risen to the throne of the Lord our God, and with the intercession of the Holy Spirit for us, has found favor before the face of the Bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Therefore, I, a servant of God, by virtue of my office, bless and dedicate this chapel with all that pertains to it and all the holy purposes it is to serve, to the worship of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.